Our God is the God of the nations, a King of kings, believers proclaim. Even as God of the nations and King of kings, our God cares for you. Out of the depths of God comes love for you, which he proved by sending his Son, Jesus, who lived among us, taking on the form of a servant, a teacher, a traveling teacher. Today we learn more about the Heavenly Father and his love in the teachings of Jesus. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share when we are together. Today's from Titus in the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The reading of God's word for today, familiar to many who may be listening. Jesus is speaking with a leader of Jesus' people, the Jews. His title is Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. And it's in chapter 3 of John's Gospel, and we're going to go right to the 16th and 17th verses. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. When we say the phrase, the love of God, that can be understood in a couple of ways. The love of God is either understood as the love we have for God, our love of God, God being the object of our love, or the love of God is God's love for us. And I am speaking about this idea, God's love for us. God loves you, God loves me, God values you, God values me. And, you know, since the infinite God values you, that makes you pretty valuable. So valuable are you to God that God sent his own Son, his one and only Son, to claim us for God. To reclaim something also means to redeem it or exchange it. Our Heavenly Father exchanged his one and only Son for you and me. That's the idea in part of the verse of John 3:16. God so loved the world. We might need to think about that one, because so many people seem convinced that God hates the world, but this world is God's creation, which he originally made good, and God intends to redeem it. God wants it back to make it better. God will make it good again. So God loved the world, loved his creation. God loved the world so much that he gave because of God's love. God gave himself, his one and only Son. So loved the world. God gave his only Son. This is God's love in Jesus for you and me. And Jesus loved God's world. Jesus proclaimed that in many ways, but one of the ways that Jesus said it was when he was being nailed to the cross of the crucifixion, a Roman punishment, when Jesus was legally convicted of crimes and sent to death for his crimes, Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." Whatever wrongs we may have participated in, however far we may have run from God, God wants us back, and God gave himself through his Son Jesus to buy us back. It seems to me that there are a few ways that we can get the love of God. I know that some people have difficulty getting the love of God because you only have to Google the question and a few million pages show up about understanding, grasping, receiving God's love. I want you to get the love of God because there are many people who don't. First of all, we can read it. You can read about God's love. Read of God's love. The Bible's all about God's love, both Old and New Testaments. You can read about God's love in creating His creation, the world, men and women. Freeing the Israelites from slavery is in God's Word. Freeing the Israelites and His new agreement or covenant with His people. Read that in the Bible. Doug Britton, in his devotional book on God's love, likes to point people to 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Britton says, I love this verse because it says why we can cast our anxiety on God, because He cares for us. Imagine that. The Creator of everything that exists actually cares for you and me. It's sort of mind-boggling. It's one of those, you know, hard to grasp ideas, but it's about the immensity of God. Britton also suggests that we meditate on Bible verses that illustrate God's love for you. The first 9 verses that Britton lists are all from the Old Testament. Some of you will find that peculiar. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies, says the Psalm 36. How priceless is your unfailing love, says Psalm 36. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love, Psalm 48. I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever, Psalm 52. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, Psalm 86. Give thanks to God of heaven, His love endures forever, Psalm 136. The Lord appeared to us in the passing, I have loved you with an everlasting love, I have drawn you with loving kindness, Jeremiah 31. The Lord your God is with you, He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The prophet Zephaniah chapter 3. You can read the love of God. You can meditate on the love of God. You can pray the love of God. When Doug Britton suggests that we meditate on God's love, there must be some reason for this, and the reason is that people don't get God's love. We've talked about this. Even the apostle in his letter to the churches in the Greek city of Ephesus, the apostle said he prayed that people, the believers, would get God's love. He says, I pray, I really like it when the apostle's praying for us, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. It surpasses knowledge. So in many ways, trying to grasp it intellectually may not work. You may get a certain distance in understanding God's love with that, but it won't be fully grasped. The Ephesians didn't fully grasp God's love for them, so you're not alone. If you have trouble, of course, you can pray this prayer too. Say, Lord, I want to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. The apostle prayed it for you. You can pray it for yourself. Pray that prayer and meditate. And prayerfully study the scriptures on God's love for you. As you read, ask God to help you believe, accept the wonders of His mighty love for us. So you can pray to get the love of God, to grasp the God's love, or as I sometimes prefer to talk about it, have God's love grasp you. It's one thing for us to grasp it. It's another for it to grasp you. That comes at you from beyond reason. I feel like I experienced that one. But in addition to reading God's love or praying to grasp God's love, we can also be grasped by God's love. We can feel it. Some of us might not get God's love until God's love gets a hold of us. These are spiritual experiences. They might be profound. They might be very simple. A walk at the ocean or in the mountains, a child's face, a short conversation with someone. People have been grasped by God's love almost anywhere and everywhere. Thunderstorms, the ocean, a doctor's office, in an office. I don't want to put words in Don Piper's mouth. He wrote 90 Minutes in Heaven, but Don experienced heaven, and that's the part of God's love. Don experienced heaven through a car accident. The Apostle Paul experienced Jesus Christ on the highway. Well, it's an ancient highway. Scripture proclaims the truth of God's love for you and me. You can pray to grasp the love of God. You can pray to be grasped by the love of God. You can also watch for God's love. Jesus did this and shared his insights with the people. Consider the birds, Jesus said. We've talked about this a few weeks ago. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and let your heavenly Father feeds them. And he asks a question. Are you not much more valuable than they? Yes or no? Jesus expects the answer, yes. And again, a verse later, see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor, and he was very rich, as you understand, was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, you can watch for God's love. Jesus recommended it. Jesus was certain it was right in front of us. However, as many of us have experienced, just because something is right in front of us is no guarantee that we will see it. Haven't we all had that experience, finding something right in front of us that for some reason we didn't see before? Jesus sees the love of God right in front of us. Perhaps we need only open our eyes or look a little deeper. Look harder. Pay a little closer attention as we watch for God's love for us. So we can read God's love, pray to grasp God's love, get grasped by God's love, or watch for God's love. Finally, some people experience God's love simply through God's contact with us. Some people think of God's contact with us as something mysterious and maybe overwhelming. Some people think of God's contact with us as something odd, strange, or unusual. Nothing could be further from the truth. You can talk to God, and God can talk back to you. It isn't anything odd, strange, or unusual. The Holy Spirit is present in us for that very reason. I don't want to take a lot of time with this morning because we want to focus on God's love, although the Holy Spirit's presence in our life is further proof of God's love for us, you and me. The Holy Spirit was involved in Scripture, and proof that the Lord's communication with us has to do with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and we are led by the Holy Spirit. But the Almighty God is capable of speaking to us without overwhelming us. There are several ways the Lord speaks to us. There's the direct method, of course. You talk to God, God talks back. But it could also be through dream. The Scriptures mention several of them. It could be answered prayer. It could be a sense of God's presence. It could be even through the words of another person or an event. Remember the book of Job and what happens at the end? God shows up. That's what it says in chapter 38. It's a long way to go in the book of Job to get to the end. And the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. And that's sufficient for Job. Job is humbled. The eternal and almighty God has shown up and spoken to Job, spoken to his misery. And for Job, it is enough. And as a matter of fact, the Lord gives Job quite a dressing down. And Job responds, I had heard about you before, but now I have seen you. Job repents of his careless talk, but Job was blessed with something beyond words or explanation. Job saw God present. Some people do experience God's love simply through God's contact with us. So we have several ways we might be in touch with God's love. Read it, pray it, be grasped by it, feel it, watch for God's love, and contact with God. And Doug Britton suggests that in order to experience God's love, it may be important to respond to God's love. We see this first in our response to Jesus to follow him. To follow Jesus is to place ourselves where we can know more about God's love. The initial following of Jesus would be to accept his gift, his sacrifice. Then we can more fully experience God's love. But even after we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, in order for us to know our experience, God's love for us, we have to respond to the Lord. God's love may be calling you to do something with that love. I experienced God's love at church camp once, but I had to go to church camp as a counselor first. Then I could more fully experience God's love. Another example of responding to God's love is that my experience, many people claim they have forgiven others, and maybe they have, but in the same sentence they will say they haven't forgiven themselves. Seems to me that forgiving yourself is the primary and first person who needs forgiveness, and the first person who should be forgiven even before you forgive another person. Family member, neighbor, whoever it is that hurt you. Don't make yourself the last person you forgive. God and Jesus forgave his captors, tormentors, and killers. How can we hold anything against ourselves? Sometimes for us to experience God's love, we need to respond to God's love. Then we can more fully experience God's love. Today's scripture that we have mentioned in the letters, I pray that being rooted and established in love may have power to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all, to the fullness of God. Let me finish today's message with a story. The story is told of a boy who labored with his grandfather for hours and hours to design, build, and paint a model sailing boat. This model boat was for the purpose of actually sailing it on the wind and water. They labored on it together. When at last it was finished, he took his precious boat to the lake to try it out. Sailed beautifully. Suddenly, a gust of wind swept the boat out of reach. It drifted further and further into the deep until the boy lost sight of it. Eventually, he trudged home, heartbroken. The boy's grandfather suggested making another boat, but the boy was inconsolable. Nothing could replace that boat. If you remember being a child, losing a balloon, there's just something about that balloon. Another balloon won't do. That's the balloon you want. I don't know if you had that experience. I did. I still remember it. But children can be that way. Inconsolable. Until the original item is brought back. Weeks later, the boy glanced in the shop window of a secondhand dealer, saw his boat. It was weathered and beaten, but it was definitely his. He recognized the paint. Excitedly, he rushed into the shop, claimed his boat, only to discover that he was not believed. He was told the only way to get that battered boat was to buy it. The boy had to find work to earn enough to buy it, and the boy did. When the boy had earned enough to buy the boat back, he went to the store to make the transaction. When at last the transaction was completed, he hugged his beloved boat and whispered to it, "You're mine. You're twice mine. You're mine because I made you, and you're mine because I bought you, and I don't care how battered you are, I'll make you beautiful again. And friends, that is how God feels about you. God loves you because you are His. He loves you because He made you and because He bought you by coming in Jesus to get you back. And because the all-powerful one sees the astounding person He can make you if only you let Him. Know more of God's love today. Amen.